I'd like to start off by thanking my co-researchers on this, Catherine King and Monroe Kaiserling, and my boss, Tom Robbins, who is now in Ghana. So he's not with us. We miss him in the environmental health section. No conflicts of interest. This slide is very telling. The skilled trades make up 15% of the workforce in the UAW, but they are 43% of the fatalities in that group. And many reasons why. The trades work in unstructured diagnostic tasks. They often work alone. There's a lot of pressure to get this machine up and running when they're working. They work near energized equipment. They work without guards because they have to get in there and fix things without the guards being on the machines. They work at elevations. They're often exposed to the elements, and they often work in confined spaces. I've been working with a safety culture committee. There's a lot of controversy around the term safety culture. So this is what the group decided to call themselves, because they said they had a culture in their plant. It's an action research project, and they've been identifying systematic root causes in their workplace and looking for low-cost interventions, because they don't have a lot of money in this committee to deal with those. The group has had quite a few achievements. We've been working together for a little over 4 years now, and they've been exploring what we introduced to them as the determining factors and deviations in root causes. These are the determining factors are things that are in place for months, weeks, sometimes even years before something happens. The deviation is that split-second thing that happens when an accident or incident happens. They've installed equipment to help reduce job hazards. They've improved their near-miss reporting system. They were getting two or three per month. Now they're getting two or three per week, because they've installed kiosks in the plant where people can report anonymously. So now they're getting a lot more near-miss reports. They've also revamped how injuries are reported. Prior to this group doing the revamp, people who were injured had to go in front of what they called the operating committee in the plant. And this was the plant manager and his direct reports, and they had to say why the accident happened and explain it all. And this kept people from even thinking about telling people they got hurt. Right now, the union health and safety representative and his management counterpart do a brief interview with the injured worker, and then they go in front of the operating committee to report what has happened. This is an example of one of the kind of low-cost fixes they have. It's a ladder that can be moved in between machines, so people don't have to crawl on top of the machine. They can use this articulating ladder to get on top of machines. This is another example of something that they've done. It's a the minimum quantity lubrication system had the button to do a reset on the inside of a panel. So people had to open the panel illegally, because usually they were supposed to get an electrician if they had to go inside of any panel. So they now have the button on the outside of the panel. But recently in this plant, they've implemented alternative work schedules. These are two 12-hour shifts instead of the three shifts that they used to have in the plant, where people work 4 days and then they have 3 days off. It's a corporate-wide policy that they've implemented, and it's in this local's union contract. The groups on this committee really wanted to find out how this was impacting them, and they turned to us at the university to say, can you give us some articles or something? And, you know, are other people doing this? So they reviewed quite a bit of literature. They started monitoring their injury reports, checked absenteeism, monitored sales at the pop-up shops. These are people who bring in sodas, candy bars, tacos, whatever they can from home, and sell them during the shifts. in the amount of times people had to refill the vending machines, and they also did some informal interviews. What they were really interested in finding out about were the sleep issues with people in the plants, whether diet and exercise suffered because of these work shifts. They wanted to know about the quality of the time that people spent with their family and friends. Did it affect productivity in the plant? What about the handoff, the between shift communication, and did it affect morale in the plant? They wanted to do a survey because that's the way they could get at everybody on all of the shifts. So they worked with us and came up with questions kind of focusing on all of those issues that they wanted to, but they were told the alternative works schedule is a really hot issue right now, and you can't do your survey because if we survey people, they'll think something maybe can be done about it, and it's a corporate-wide policy, and it's in your union contract, so don't get people's hopes up. So the survey was put on hold, and a focus group was done instead. In the focus group, the day shift workers said they had more time off, but they had less experience with their family and friends because their days off now weren't their traditional weekends. Every other week they had a weekend off, but they had these non-traditional irregular days off, and it didn't coincide with their family and friends. So they couldn't do things like the kids' sporting events on Friday nights. One of the individuals that was in the focus group was a Sunday school teacher who had to stop doing that. People couldn't go to religious surveys on religious services on Saturdays and Sundays because they were working on the weekends. The folks that were on the night shift had similar issues to the day shift, but they also tried to resume their regular activities on those days that they did have off. They kind of tried to flip back to having dinner with their family and getting up for breakfast, and when they got back to work, they were extremely fatigued, particularly on their first day back. And these are some of the quotes from the focus group. Everything gets thrown off when you eat, what you eat, when you sleep, and when you go to the bathroom. My body's not in rhythm. You don't have a set pattern, and you keep flipping back and forth. You know, The Walking Dead? You know that show? Or The Working Dead. You're there, but you're like a zombie. I think they call this presenteeism. You're there, but you're not really there. Sometimes you fight to keep your eyes open. I know I've nodded off more than once. I'm lucky my parents are in the area. I don't know where I could get child care for 14 hours a day. This person was adding their commute time in there, too, and it was really something. Another, I admit to being a foodie. If I don't plan ahead and pack a meal, it's hard to have supper. Vending on site is limited, and you're paying good money for bad or unhealthy food. The trades workers on both shifts preferred their traditional shifts to the alternative work schedule. And the issues facing the night workers were different because there was this additional fatigue that they were experiencing, and also things such as union representation and the nurses and the gym in the plant were not in operation during the times that sort of the after hours times, and they also are a little understaffed on the trades on all shifts. They want to put in a few, low-cost things. The only one that's kind of higher cost, I guess, would be reopening the cafeteria for both morning and afternoon workers. As a cost-saving measure, this plant closed the cafeteria and put in more vending machines. They want to get the cafeteria reopened. They want healthier foods in the vending machines. They want to expand the on-site fitness room, which I think would be pretty easy for them to do. Build in time for preventative maintenance. Right now, the machines are operating 24/7, and although they thought they'd have this time for working on the machines, that hasn't been really planned in. They want to explore some restorative practices. One of the articles that they were reading was from NASA about how if you took 25-minute naps, it would improve your cognitive ability. So they're going to try to push for that one, but I kind of wish them luck. I don't see it happening, but maybe. And just putting things in historical perspective, in New Orleans, the city we're in now, in 1926, at a meeting of the American Federation of Labor, here is the statement: whereas, if compelled to work for long hours under modern processes of production, the vitality, the health, and the very life of workers is put in serious jeopardy. This is when they were very happy to get the 8-hour workday and the 5-hour work week in place, and we've come a long way since then. So, you know, if anyone has any questions,
I'm a bit surprised in a way to see some of the comments that you had up there. Uh-huh. I remember when I was, in my early 20s, I was single and I worked under these kind of conditions, 12 hours on, 4 days, 12 mm-hmm. hours daytime, and then coming back after 4 days off to 12 hours nights for 4 days and going through that kind of shift. But as I say, I'm surprised at those comments, because that I work with at the time really love these types of conditions.
Yeah.
So maybe if you're young and single and things like that,
exactly.
that probably changes everything. So I really found that kind of bizarre. I mean, I personally
yeah.
didn't care for those working conditions, but for other people, they just love
them. The workers in this plant, the skilled trades workers, are the higher seniority workers, and they are older workers. So I think that's one of the reasons why. And they also, a lot of them do have high school age children, so it's really impacting on things like sporting events and that sort of things with the kids. Yeah, thank you.
I've got a question about whether or not there is any kind of overtime on top of that, because in many of the Steelworkers Union and many of the places that have this schedule, mm-hmm. there has been mandatory overtime that comes in on top of all of this. So was there a prohibition
They can pick up extra time on top of this
on
a voluntary
so
basis.
No mandatory
on this, no. But they were paid additional time before when they worked a weekend, and now their weekends have become part of their regular shift, at least every other week. So, yeah. Yeah.
You mentioned talking about the safety culture. One of the most difficult aspects, I gather, is dealing with the production demands,
mm-hmm.
the maintenance of equipment, and
yes,
so forth.
Yes.
And so,
keep it up and running.
Talk a little about the difficulty, which I'm well aware of implementing those kind of changes. You mentioned machine guarding, I assume, was lockout, tag out uniformly followed, and so forth. I mean,
yeah.
A key issue is those kind of demands for production, and that seems to be where you have the most resistance.
Mm-hmm. You they try to follow safety rules, but when no one's looking and they need to fix that machine, the guarding does come off, and you have to troubleshoot to get in there. But yeah, the keeping of things up and running is this major thing with the plant.
So when this issue was brought up, there was a lot of resistance, I assume, from management.
Yes. Yeah. And I think there'll be a lot of resistance to the naps too, but we'll see. Any other questions?
So you mentioned that also surveys on halls, right?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Any hope for survey?
Well, they hope they can do it, but I'm not sure. It would be nice.
The survey also will help you more to bring to that kind of connection and outcome. To see.
People like to see numbers more so than they like to see quotations, too. So, yeah.
Any other questions?
Thank you.